my travels that all the best things in life happen after 2 a.m. Because after 2 a.m. is when things get, audience, say it with me, legendary.
News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. The bell tolls. It's
noonin' o'clock.
I hear voices in my head. They talk to me.
You're stealing my pot pie.
Bernard, did you rip up the store today?
Oh, we got the fuck out of us.
No, Mama, I was a good employee today.
Well, son, I said, son, let me get myself a daiquiri over here. Run down, pick me up a moon pie and an RC Cola. I'm going to meet you down by Kirk. We'll do the wash.
You could say I'm a little bit crazy.
That is the most sinister call laugh that we've ever had on this program, Cody. You need to isolate that laugh.
Noonan o'clock.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up. Turn on all the lights, y'all.
Good morning. How are you? Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, in for Nick D. Glad to have you here with us. We are on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower, the Skybox Studio, on a beautiful Monday morning. Sure it is. Why not? We all had a good weekend. Big show planned. Always more fun when you get involved. Hope you will. 312-981-7200. That's the number. You'll call in. The phone will be answered by Dan Shagrew, the executive producer of the Nick D Show. He's a fine, hardworking young man. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. There, now I've cleared my throat off mic. That was very classy of me. You can also keep in touch with us via social media, Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. Am I a little bit slap happy? Sure. Have I been here for almost 12 hours? Yes. Does that matter to you? No. You don't care. You're just tuning in right now. So let's have a good time. We're going to talk about nothing. I don't know what. All of a sudden, I was fine until I opened the mic. And now some gremlin has crawled into my throat and is doing that weird phlegm rattle that everybody loves so much. But we're going to talk about stress and sleep. If you're awake now, you might be awake because you have to be, whether it's work or whatever it is that keeps you up at night. But you may also be having a little stress, and the stress is affecting your sleep. So we're going to talk to Dr. Robert Rosenberg. He is a sleep doctor, and he may have some answers for you. So if you're having trouble sleeping and you think it might be stress-related, feel free to give us a holler, and the doctor will try to answer your questions. He'll be coming on with us in just a few minutes. Then we're going to talk about clowns and creepy clowns and these clown attacks. I don't quite get it. I don't understand it. And I may have the answer. Much like one orange candidate for president, only I can solve this problem. So we'll talk about that. And then an article that, it's funny, Dan, I had seen this story, and you sent it to me as well. And I saw it, and I immediately thought, ooh, we should talk about that on the show. And then I thought, ooh, maybe we shouldn't talk about this on the show. And then I got a little slap happy, and I thought, of course we're going to talk about this on the show. Men's bathroom habits, and especially one habit, standing or sitting. That is going to be the topic of conversation, because we talk about nothing but the hard-hitting issues here when I'm in for Nick.
I'm fascinated to hear what Esmeralda thinks of this, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be, because I could already see the wheels turning in Esmeralda's head, thinking to herself, boy, I have to take
The only female here for that perspective, I'm very interested.
Well, I'm sure Esmeralda has been on the receiving end of some bad moves on this topic. People, what are they talking about? 3:30. That's what we're going to talk about. This 3:30. So come on back. Look at me, appointment setting. Very nice. And then a number of towns are proposing bans on toy guns. So we'll get into that after 4 o'clock as well. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll go around the horn. Dan, did you have a good weekend?
It was an all right weekend. Young Emily has a runny nose, so she did not sleep, which means I did not sleep, nor my wife. So, but she's fine. It's nothing serious. No fever, or anything.
Just a regular cold.
You know, when you're 16 months old, you can't blow your nose. So there's
Do you have to use one of those like turkey basters to suck things out of her head?
Yeah, I don't do it.
That's the most horrible. I say it's the most horrible, but there was a part of me that really loved doing it. I don't know why.
It is, like, very effective.
Oh, and it is really effective.
And fascinating to watch, but I can't do it.
See, and I would do it so much, the back of my daughter's head would start to, like, get concave, and so my wife told me I couldn't do it anymore. Because I was like, there's more in there! And there wasn't. I was actually, I might have pulled out some brain matter, which explains her math scores. But, you know, other than that, well, I hope she's feeling better.
She was
at 16
sleeping
months
when
old.
I left,
can they do anything for that? They just kind of let it run its course.
Yeah,
right?
You know, we think she's teething at the same time, so we're giving some Tylenol. And I mean, she was knock on whatever this is. She was sleeping and had been asleep for 4 hours by the time I left.
Well, that's a long stretch.
So we were very happy for that. Yeah. So hopefully,
well, fingers crossed.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. How about you, Esmeralda? Big weekend? Do anything exciting?
No.
Oh.
I just hung around. I watched all of American Horror Story Hotel.
Oh, how did you like that?
In the daytime. But then I realized it's not even that scary.
No, it's just weird.
I really liked it. It makes me want to be a vampire. But then again, I really liked The Hunger.
Okay.
You saw that with...
I did not watch that one.
David Bowie and Catherine Deneuve. It's essentially the same storyline.
Oh, okay.
Of Lady Vampire and Guy Vampire.
All right.
But they don't. And it's the same thing. Like, they cut people. So in American Horrors, they cut people instead
right,
of teeth.
Right, Lady Gaga with her big nail.
Yeah, just, teeth don't come out. They just cut people and the blood comes squirting out.
That was, see, and I've watched every season of American Horror Story. I've started the new one, my Roanoke Nightmare or whatever it is. And while I watch them and I kind of enjoy them, there's something that I don't like about it. And yet I can't stop watching it.
Yeah, you know? I had to kind of push myself to watch a few episodes because they kind of dragged.
Right, and they get bogged down in a lot of weird, like Hotel got bogged down in that whole serial killer backstory and the guy, the cop, and where was the kid and the whole big thing.
Much.
And I was like, ah.
Yeah, they don't scare me anymore. The only one that truly did scare me was the first one.
See, and I watched the first one, and I can't remember it at all, except there was a dude in a latex suit.
That was frightening.
That's all I remember. That dude was just hanging around in a latex suit.
Yep.
And
just in the corner of rooms. There.
Yeah. I don't remember. And then I remember starting to watch Asylum with my daughter, and the first episode, the first 10 minutes, when they're like doing it in the asylum, it was so over the top that I felt uncomfortable being in the same room with my daughter. So I was like, that's it. This one's over. And then we watched it separately. I was not.
I would do the same.
Yeah. I was like, no. All right. This is going off. And that was that. So that was your big weekend, huh?
That was my weekend.
Wow. You're living the life.
Oh, yeah.
You're very cutting
edge.
Stuck
to the couch.
I don't believe this. And sometimes that's the best way to do it. Big Vic, what'd you do over the weekend? Trim the beard? What was going on at your house?
Beard remains the same length it was Friday, but I spent the whole weekend with the kids outside all day yesterday with football games, some little windblown and sunburnt, believe it or not.
But a gorgeous day to be out.
It felt great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a little chilly in the morning, but yeah, no, it was great. It's beautiful.
How'd the games go?
The first game was really close. My youngest son, he's got a good team this year. They played an undefeated team in Barrington, and they lost 13-12, close game.
Oh, a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it was.
A heartbreaker.
Yeah, it was. The second game was a bit of a blowout.
Were you on the receiving end of the blowout?
Yeah, yeah. My oldest son's a little beat up today.
Ah.
He's got stitches in his chin. Let's just leave it at that.
Really?
So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
Is he all right other than that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was just one of those little face masks. His face mask kind of busted his chin open, but just a couple stitches, he's fine.
Yikes.
But fun weekend.
Listen, it's a tough sport.
It is, yeah.
That's what they say.
Just rub a little dirt on it, right?
yeah, until your chin is, you know, wide open and blood's gushing out and there's no amount of dirt that's going to cake in there and, you know.
He really wanted to stay in, but his mom made him leave.
That's why moms should not be allowed to sit anywhere close to the field. You have to sit far away. And I don't blame, listen, thankfully my daughter was not in any contact sports. She was in water polo and band. And so nobody was like slamming into her. That I could see under the water. I guess in water polo, she would tell us under the water was vicious, but I couldn't see it, so it didn't matter. As long as her head stayed above the water, I was good with that.
Right.
But yeah, football or things like that, it's tough.
Yeah, tough. Sport.
And especially if something happens to your kid, because your first reaction is to run down there and try to help them because they're your child. And then you go, wait, no, that's what the coaches and the trainers and stuff are for. Do they have trainers in little kid football?
Oh, they do. You'd be surprised. I mean, safety is big at that level. They're pretty young, 13 and 11. So, yeah, safety is very, very big. They go really, there's still accidents. I'm not saying there's not. But yeah. They do, I think, everything they can to keep it safe.
Man, and that's tackle, right? It's not flag football.
Oh, yeah,
that's tackle football.
Yep, full body armor.
Man, oh man, yeah, I remember those days. That's rough. Dan, did you play football?
No, I never got into it. I was always baseball or soccer.
Ah, look at you, very European. Even though baseball is America's game, I don't know. We had a nice weekend. I got to see my wife just terrified because we went out for an Oktoberfest type of dinner on Friday to the Chicago Brauhaus up there on Lincoln, which is a great place. But my wife is the antithesis of me. While I crave the limelight like a needy lunatic, she tries to stay out of anybody's attention. She doesn't want attention at all. So she was pulled up into a conga line. It was some sort of dance party line by the 90-year-old band leader who looked like a cross between something out of a Bavarian folk tale and he might have been on American Horror Story. He was kind of scary because he had a bleached blonde kind of mullet and then knee-length lederhosen with bright red socks. And it was fun, but he grabs my wife and my friend and they're doing this kind of conga line through the restaurant and I can see on her face how pained she is by this. She's participating. She's a good sport, but she wants nothing to do with this. So as she gets back to the table, I see the look of relief come over her. And all of a sudden, Johnny Bandleader grabs her again, Augustus Gloomp, and he drags her up to the dance floor for a yodeling contest. Ever been part of a yodeling contest, Esmeralda?
I have not.
Well, you're missing out, let me tell you, because it is something to behold. First, everybody in the crowd has to do some weird clap, 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 and then we repeat some sort of lyric that I cannot remember. But it was very catchy. And then the person would come up, and you'd do the clapping again, and you'd do the line of dialogue, and then the person would have to yodel along with it. And while my wife gave it her all, she gave it the old college try, she did not prevail in the yodeling contest. But I have never seen her more uncomfortable, except for the day I asked her to marry me. But other than that, she has never looked that uncomfortable in her life. So that was our big Friday night. That necessitated enough. She was done with her beer. She had had a couple beers, and she was like, that was it. After the yodeling contest, another round. We had to get another little pint over there. Get her back calm so she could go home as we were wearing our little Bavarian hats. Oh, I enjoy, but I will say she got complimented by the little girl at the next table. Because it was audience reaction, cheering for the yodelers, which is not a euphemism that Donald Trump would use in a campaign. It just means, we were cheering for the yodelers. And as my wife came back dejected to the table, having not vanquished her yodeling foes, the little girl at the next table said, I thought you were really good. So that buoyed her spirits for the rest of the night. All right, let's take a quick break. Are you tired? Are you trying to sleep, but you're too stressed out? Well, don't worry. Dr. Robert Rosenberg is going to join us after this. And he has a new book out, Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety. He will answer your sleep questions at 312-981-7200. We'll talk to the doctor after this on 720 WGN. It's Brian Noonan for Nick D on 720 WGN. New study came out saying 68% of people feel they don't get enough rest. Now, that's not the same as sleep. That's just resting. But we've heard for years how bad not getting enough sleep can be. And a new book is out, The Doctor's Guide to Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety. And it is written by my guest, Dr. Robert Rosenberg. He is a sleep medicine specialist. He joins us now on WGN. Doctor, thanks for taking some time this morning. I appreciate it. Thanks for staying up and missing out on some of your valuable sleep.
My pleasure, Brian. I'm purposely starting my day a little later tomorrow.
All right. Let me ask you that, because that seems to be a common, I don't know if it's a myth, you address it in the book. Some people think, well, if I stay up late or I miss out on my sleep is shortened on one day, I can catch up tomorrow. I'll just sleep a couple hours later tomorrow. Is that even true, that we can stockpile our sleep or catch up on missed sleep?
Not to do it on a regular basis. An occasional instance, fine, but people, I've many people, what they're doing is they're burning the candle at both ends. They're doing work in bed. They may be getting to bed at 1 in the morning, having to be up for work at 6:30, getting 5.5 hours of sleep, and then thinking on the weekends, I'll sleep until 1 o'clock in the afternoon to make up for it.
Right.
All the studies show that you can't, that in fact that causes significant problems with your brain, with your memory, with your immune function. So occasionally you might be able to get away with it, but if you do it on a chronic basis, and we call that social jet lag, people who do that regularly, most of those people end up with health problems at a fairly young age. We see an increased incidence of heart disease, cerebral vascular disease, and blood pressure and obesity.
So let's get this straight once and for all. People have been we hear all the time how much sleep we actually need as adults. Is right. it 7 hours? Is it 8 hours? We hear people brag, oh, you know what? I can get by with 5 hours of sleep a night and I still function fine. How much sleep do we really need, doctor?
Well, most studies go 6.5 to 7.5 hours. Some of us in my field would say 7 to 9, but I think 6.5 to 7.5. We start to see people's health begin to deteriorate are people who regularly sleep less than 6 hours a night. We definitely, and less than 5 hours for sure, we definitely begin to see problems with cardiovascular health and with obesity and with diabetes. So everybody's different, and there are short sleepers. We do have 2 to 5% of the population that can get by on 4 hours of sleep, but that's really a very small segment of the population compared to so many people who claim that they do that, when in effect they're shortchanging themselves, and they become so used to it, they don't realize the effect it's having on their function during the daytime.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, because you hear these people say, oh, I can function, but how effectively are they really functioning when they're not getting enough sleep?
They're usually having to push much harder to stay alert, not awake, but to stay alert. They have more difficulty on jobs, there's more occupational accidents, more driving accidents. In effect, if you're trying to get by on 5 hours a night regularly, probably going to have some significant problems with mood, with concentration, with focus, and you'll have to try a lot harder than you're the guy sitting next to you at work who got 7 hours of sleep, and that alone becomes exhausting, and that causes stress. And so the problem is, when you do that on a regular basis, you're really deceiving yourself in the majority of cases.
Now, you bring up stress in the new book, The Doctor's Guide to Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety. And you say that stress and sleep are linked. And we hear the term stress a lot. But for the book and for these purposes, sure. What do you consider stress?
Stress is basically a physiological or a physical reaction to the demands of life. And basically, stress, when you have stress, you trigger your sympathetic nervous system, your fight or flight response. And that's great if you're trying to get out of the way of a truck or if you're preparing for an exam. But what happens with a lot of folks is they begin to become chronically stressed. They're stressed when there's nothing really there to stress them. They become stressed at minor things. And people who are sleep deprived, who don't sleep enough, in studies we find that they react to minor stressors in a way that other people would only react to major stressors. They put out more cortisol, they put out more adrenaline, and they have much more difficulty getting back into balance. So when you have lack of sleep, it actually decreases your level of how you respond to stress. So that's one of the main things we try to get across in the book, that it's a two-way street, and it's the chicken or the egg. People who don't sleep enough tend to become more stressed and have more difficulty dealing with stress during the daytime. And people who are stressed have a lot of trouble falling asleep at night because they take the stress into the bedroom.
Well, and that's in the whole direction of the book is how those two are linked and how we can fight that. I've got a lot of questions about the book and a lot of different things, and I know some folks have some questions for you. Can you hang on, doctor, and we'll get to those after the news?
Sure, I'd love to.
Fantastic. Thanks very much. Dr. Robert Rosenberg is my guest. He's a sleep medicine specialist. His new book, The Doctor's Guide to Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety. You can get all the information about the book and the doctor and some very interesting articles if you go to answersforsleep.com. We'll talk more with the doctor on the other side of the news here on 720 WGN. It's Brian Noonan for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick's on vacation. I'll be with you all this week from 2 to 5. Happy to be here. If you're awake, maybe it's for a good reason. Maybe it's because you just can't sleep and you're having some trouble, probably stress-related. Dr. Robert Rosenberg is my guest. He's a sleep medicine specialist. His new book, The Doctor's Guide to Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety. His website, answersforsleep.com, to get all the answers. Doctor, again, thanks for being here. We were talking about stress before we went to the news. Is there a way, because people throw that word around all the time, oh, I've got so much stress, I'm under stress, blah, blah, blah. Is there a way for us to tell how much stress we actually have?
Well, yeah, I think you can. It's, you can't exactly quantitate it. You can tell if you're someone who's always worrying, who ruminates a lot when there's not a lot to worry about. You feel muscle tension a lot, and you always feel there's impending doom or something terrible is going to happen. Then you're beginning to internalize the stress, and then, of course, it turns into an anxiety disorder. And so, and of course, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, if you can't fall asleep, mm-hmm. you're taking your daily activities, your problems into the bedroom, then the stress has become strong enough that it's beginning to disturb your sleep, and that should be a sign that you need to begin to address the stress and how you respond to it.
Now, is that something, because I'll be honest, the other day that happened to me. I knew I needed to get some sleep, but it's one of those nights where my mind just keeps racing, and I know people have these all the time. If that happens once in a while, is that a problem, or is
no.
If this happens all the time?
It's when it becomes chronic. So a lot of people have acute situational insomnia for only a night or two, or it might be something like a divorce or death in the family or loss of a job that might last 4 to 5 weeks. But if it's going on after 6, 8, 10 weeks or 3 months, where at least 3 nights a week out of the 7, you're having difficulty falling asleep, you can't shut your mind down, then that's basically the definition of insomnia, and that's has a lot to do with the fact that you're not dealing with or managing your stress. You're letting your stress manage you.
Are there different types of insomnia?
Oh, yeah. There's sleep-onset insomnia, which is an inability to fall asleep. There are people who can fall asleep just fine, but they wake up early in the morning or in the middle of the night, and they can't get back to sleep. There are people who seem to sleep 5 or 6 or 7 hours. They wake up feeling like their sleep is non-restorative, like their sleep is of poor quality.
Right.
So that's what we're dealing with. Dealing with insomnia, that's a temporal relationship. And of course, there's insomnia that's associated with medical and psychiatric problems. Many people who suffer from depression or anxiety disorders or lung disease or heart disease also have problems sleeping at night.
Now, speaking of the restlessness, someone texted in from the 773. What about sleep versus rest? I have restless sleep, but I'm in bed. They say they work overnights. So we all know third shift workers have more trouble sleeping. But this restless sleep, can you explain that?
Yeah, well, if you're somebody whose sleep is restless, that means that it's fitful. You wake up, you fall back to sleep, you wake up. Because if it's restless, you have to be conscious long enough to appreciate the fact it's restless, or it wouldn't be restless.
Right.
That can frequently be an underlying sleep disorder. For instance, a recent study showed that 80% of people on sleeping pills, where the sleeping pills still did not work, and their problem was that they couldn't remain asleep, not fall asleep, that 80% of those people had an underlying sleep disorder, and it turned out that most of them had sleep apnea, which no one had ever addressed or thought about. And when the sleep apnea was diagnosed and treated, they slept just fine throughout the night.
How widespread is that? Because a few years ago, you didn't hear too much about sleep apnea. Every once in a while, you would hear of someone who has it. Now it seems to be more in the forefront. Is it because more people are developing it, or just now we're more cognizant of it than we were in the past?
It's a combination. Obviously, there's an obesity epidemic in the country, and that's one of the main problems. And when you're obese, you're much more likely to have sleep apnea, although 30% of people with sleep apnea are not obese. The other issue is with the aging population, as we get older, the incidence of sleep apnea begins to climb significantly. For instance, in your 20s, it might be 6% of men and maybe 2% of women, but by the time we get into our 60s and 70s, and again, the population is living longer, the incidence of sleep apnea in some epidemiological studies has been as high as 40% of men and 20% of women.
What brings that on with our age going up?
Well, in women, it's loss of hormones. When women cease to produce estrogen and progesterone. Estrogen seems to have some effect on strengthening the upper airway muscles. Progesterone is tends to stimulate respiration, so you're far less likely to stop breathing in your sleep or have sleep apnea. But as we get older, with women and men, our fat distribution changes, our reflexes to our throat muscles begin to fade, sometimes because we've been snoring for so many years that we actually do what's called vibratory damage. But it's a combination of lack of exercise, weight gain, hormonal changes, and some neurological changes that just come with aging.
Dr. Robert Rosenberg is my guest. His new book, The Doctor's Guide to Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety. We've got some people holding on who'd like to ask you a question, Doctor, sure, if that's all right. Let's start with Reese. Hi, Reese. You're on WGN.
Yeah, hello. You know, I work the overnight third shift, 12 midnight to basically 10, 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, when I go home, I do get sleep. But tell me, does it matter if I get the 8 hours during the day or does time of the day matter, you know, as far as the diurnal time?
Yeah, and, in other words, is 7 hours of sleep from 11 o'clock till 6 in the morning going to be better than if you can get the same amount of sleep during the day? And the answer is probably not. Not everybody, not every shift worker has shift workers' disorder. So those shift workers, like this gentleman, who can stay awake during the night without a problem,
right,
and go home and get their 7 hours of sleep, their circadian cycles have adjusted to that type of sleep-wake schedule, and they can do just fine. It's the shift workers who can't stay awake at work, who can't get more than 5 or 6 hours of sleep when they try to sleep during the day, and they're the ones who are very subject to obesity, to diabetes, to heart disease, and to early death.
All right, so Reese, you're doing all right. If you can get your full night's sleep during the day, you got nothing to worry about.
So does that mean when you on the weekends or the days off, you keep the same schedule that you would normally?
Yes, Reese. The best thing for a shift worker to do within reason is to try to maintain a similar schedule. It's the ones who have the major problem of people who try to whipsaw their circadian clocks, which is what we actually have clock genes in our brain. So a person who works like you do, and then come the weekend, they start, they're basically sleeping at night with their wife, and they're trying to stay up all day long, and then come Monday, they go back to work. Oh. That doesn't work for too long. You've got to try to stick to the same sleep-wake schedule as much as possible.
All right. Good
now,
luck.
One more question.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
When that happens, okay, what happens if you suddenly, after 5 years, you're used to this night shift, now you're thrown on day shift? How can you readjust that circadian clock in your body?
Yeah, what will happen is, as long as you begin to expose yourself to sunlight in the morning upon awakening, and you keep things dark at night, it's just like jet lag, your brain will readjust to the new circadian cycle. So it may take a week or two. It's not going to happen overnight. It may be a little painful at first, but in most cases, we'll be able to readjust because your circadian rhythms will readjust. For instance, if I move to Hong Kong or if I move to England, I might be miserable for about a week or so. But on the other hand, if I take up residence there, I adjust to the new sleep-wake schedule in a different time zone.
Right.
All right. Well, Reese, good luck.
One thing I don't understand, though, is the thing about the obesity. How does, you know, if you work out, how does a calorie not equal a calorie if you're not getting the sleep? You know what I'm saying?
If you don't get enough sleep, what happens with people who don't get enough sleep, like shift workers who can't sleep during the daytime, the body produces more of a hormone called ghrelin, which is an appetite-stimulating hormone, and the body produces it in much higher amounts when people don't get enough sleep, and they also decrease the production of another hormone called leptin, which actually suppresses your appetite. So one of the main reasons that we see obesity in people who don't get enough sleep, such as shift workers, is it's actually hormonal.
Oh, that's very – yeah, you hear that a lot, but it's – now we know why. Sue has a question for you. Doctor, hi, Sue. Welcome to WGN.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you. Good morning, and hi, Doctor.
Hi.
I have a lot of questions, as I said to the screener, but since like my late 20s and I'm now in my late 40s, I had an ill parent and just I have anxiety disorder issues and so on. And of course, I know this is not healthy, but I cannot really ever relax all these years and decades. I almost have to stay up, and you can't live like this. I almost have to stay up 2 days in a row to feel relaxed enough to get sleep. And as I said to the screener, and then I'll shut up, is I've just recently been trying to experiment, if you will, with like some listening to brainwave sounds and music. And to be very general about that, I just wondered what your opinion was about that. And I'm also seeing a doctor about this too.
Good. What's the main thing? But yes, there are methods that can help you relax. There are binaural beats is something which may or may
yes,
not
thank
work.
You.
That's what you were probably talking about. But
yes.
I'll see some things that will help people who are stressed and anxious. Exercise regularly. Get out in the sun
mm-hmm.
in the morning, because that will improve your mood. Meditation is tremendous for people who are always stressed. And also therapy. You know, if you're constantly stressed and you're constantly anxious, to
yes.
then you know, I'm not saying you have to start taking medications, but see a good
right.
therapist, because there are therapists, psychologists out there who really are expert at managing stress and teaching you stress-reducing methods that can change your life.
Good luck, Sue. That sounds
thank you so much.
That sounds rough. Now, Dr. Sue said she would try to stay up 2 days to feel relaxed. That's not relaxed, right? That's your body finally reaches a point where it just
yeah.
has to sleep, correct?
What's happening, Sue, is she probably, with all her stress, she has high cortisol levels, she has high adrenaline, and so when she stays up for 36 to 48 hours, the pressure to sleep becomes so great that it overcomes these high levels of hormones, stress hormones that tend to keep you awake, and finally she falls asleep. But that's just not the way to do it, folks. I mean, there are better ways to do that. And the key in Sue's case would be, obviously, she's beginning to, but she needs to manage the stress, because she's a classic example of how stress interferes with sleep, and how lack of sleep, in Sue's case, is probably making her stress reactions much worse.
Well, when we come back, I want to ask you about some of these ways we can reduce stress. And Dan, my wonderful producer, he has a 16-month-old. So as you can imagine, his sleep may not be the best. So he has a question for you as well. And if you have a question for Dr. Robert Rosenberg, 312-981-7200, the new book, The Doctor's Guide to Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety, and answersforsleep.com is the doctor's website. More with the doctor on the other side. It is 720 WGN. It's Brian Fredeck on 720 WGN, talking to Dr. Robert Rosenberg about sleep and stress and how they are related. The new book, The Doctor's Guide to Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety. Before we get to Dan, Doctor, a couple of questions came in on the text line. Somebody wanted to know if there's any connection to stress and why they have trouble waking up.
Not a rule. When people, if you're having trouble waking up, it could be because you're stressed and you don't get enough sleep. Okay, but as a rule, people who have trouble, what we call sleep inertia, waking up, is usually not a symptom of stress. That may be a symptom of an underlying sleep disorder.
Okay.
May not be, again, getting back to things like sleep apnea or restless leg syndrome, things like that. But normally, people who are stressed don't have trouble waking up. People who are very depressed may do that. But again, as a rule, with stress, it's not a matter of having trouble waking up, of having problems falling asleep and staying asleep.
And some people will say, another texter was asking about this, some people will say, oh, you know what, if I have a drink or two, that helps me fall asleep. Does alcohol really make you sleep better?
Well, no, it's a dangerous tightrope, because what happens is, first of all, we know that a number of alcoholics, and I see a lot of patients from rehab centers, young patients in their 20s and 30s, and they began drinking to help them sleep when they were teenagers because they were gals and they couldn't get up for classes.
Right.
But the alcohol trap is that the more, you become refractory to it, and then you need more and more. And the more you drink to help you fall asleep, the more likely you are to be woken out of sleep. As the alcohol leaves your blood system, it triggers a stress, basically triggers the flight or flight system, the sympathetic nervous system. So then alcoholics find themselves waking up in the middle of the night. So, you know, an occasional drink, if you're taking it for the purpose of sleeping, you better think twice about it. It's a problem that could come really serious. I had an older lady come to see me recently who began doing that at night. She'd have a couple of cocktails, and the next thing she knew, she was drinking in the middle of the night to put herself back to sleep.
Whoa. Yeah, all right, I could see where that could get a little dicey. All right, doctor, I mentioned that Dan had a question, and it's funny because, Dan, your question, I've had this same thing happen to me a number of times. What's your deal, Dan?
Right, so I, Doc, I don't enjoy coffee, and I usually stay away from pop, so I don't have a lot of caffeine in my life, but there are days where, you know, my little one doesn't sleep, and therefore I don't sleep, and there I need just something to get me through a couple hours till the next time I can rest. So I'm just wondering if there's anything, like, not too harmful that will give you a little bit of a pick-me-up.
Yes, it's called a nap. And I'm telling you, a 20-minute to 30-minute nap in some studies will increase your alertness back to normal for about 3 to 4 hours if you're sleep-deprived.
And do you have to nap? Does it have to be in a bed? Can you just sit in a chair and fall asleep?
Whatever you want to. A lot of businesses are putting in nap chairs, nap pods. So no, it doesn't. That's not as long as it's quiet and you can take the nap. But if you nap and you find your nap to no more than about 20 or 30 minutes, otherwise you start to get into deeper sleep, and then you will have trouble waking up, and you may feel worse than you did before. But a short nap of 20 minutes to 30 minutes is an excellent way to restore your energy for at least a few hours, Dan, until you get home and get to sleep. And a short nap won't interfere with your sleep that night, whereas if you nap for an hour or two, that'll make it more difficult to sleep that following night.
And do those longer naps not only make it difficult for you to sleep, but I've noticed a few times that I've napped for longer than you know, 30 minutes or so, I wake up even groggier than I was before I took the nap.
Because you're going into deeper stages of sleep, what we call slow wave sleep, and it is difficult to awaken from slow wave or deep sleep. As a matter of fact, children have so much deep sleep compared to adults. That's why, you know, it's almost impossible to wake up young children when they're sleeping. So if you nap after 30, 45 minutes, you do get into deeper stages of sleep, what we call slow wave sleep, and slow wave sleep is difficult to awaken from. So that's why some people would describe it as sleep drunkenness or whatever, or sleep inertia. But, yeah, that's the problem. But a short nap of only 20 minutes, and you don't normally you won't have any of those side effects.
Dan has a follow-up.
I do. Because
now he just woke up from his nap.
So with that in mind, that you only want to sleep for 20 minutes, knowing that it's going to take me maybe 10 minutes to fall asleep, should I set my alarm for 30 minutes? Should I give myself time?
You don't think you can do it on your own, and you know you can do a power nap and set your phone or whatever for 30 minutes, and that way, you know, and then wake up after that amount of time. Most people, once they put in their mind they're going to sleep 20 minutes, so that's pretty much what they sleep. But if people have a problem, I tell them, sure, use an alarm, use your phone, use something to wake you up. But that's one way of doing that.
Thank you very much.
You
helps.
Feel better? Yeah, but now he's going to nap during the rest of the show, doctor, so I might be in trouble. We mentioned before some ways that people can kind of make changes to their lifestyle that may help them, and I know there's a lot in the book. There's physical and mental. Can you give us just a couple quick ones for people to begin to maybe alleviate some stress to help them get to sleep a little better?
Yeah, first of all, there's a thing called constructive worrying. We try to teach our patients 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, write down your problems, write down your solutions, put it in the desk drawer, and don't take it into the bedroom, okay? Some people find journaling, writing their emotions, their feelings, why they're stressed, and that really is a catharsis, and it works for a lot of folks. Meditation. We see people who meditate on a regular basis have lower levels of cortisol and adrenaline and don't respond. Even their brains begin to show changes. A part of the brain called the amygdala doesn't become it becomes less responsive to stress than do people who don't meditate. And exercise is an excellent way of reducing stress. When you exercise regularly, you produce something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which I mentioned in my book. People who exercise increase the level of this particular brain chemical threefold. And brain-derived neurotrophic factor is an excellent neurotransmitter in terms of decreasing anxiety.
Now, should you, there's different schools of thought. Should you exercise early in the morning, or if you exercise right before you go to bed, will that keep you awake? Where do you fall on that?
Well, we used to think, first of all, the best time to exercise is in the morning, and certainly when the sun is out. But a recent study showed that people who even exercised in the evening slept better than people who didn't exercise at all. So if you're going to get into bed in 10 minutes, I'm not going to get on the treadmill and get your body temperature all the way up. But if you're going to go to sleep at 9 or 10 o'clock at night and you're exercising at 6 or 7 o'clock, where previously we would have said, no, don't do that, now we say, well, if that's the only time you can exercise, then that's better than not exercising at all by far.
All right. Doctor, it's fascinating stuff. The new book, The Doctor's Guide to Sleep Solutions for Stress and Anxiety. You can go to answersforsleep.com to get all sorts of articles and help from Dr. Robert Rosenberg. Thank you for spending time with us this morning. Now you can go get a little sleep.
I will, and thank you, Brian, for inviting.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Doctor. We appreciate it. Again, it's answersforsleep.com. Let's do this. Then it's news time on 720 WGN. Good morning. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick's on vacation. I will be with you all week and happy to be here. A lot to get to in the next couple hours. Will I get to all of it? Probably not. Why would we? I do want to... Let me ask Esmeralda this question. Do you like clowns, Esmeralda?
Not really, no.
No. Dan, do you like clowns?
Yeah, not really.
No. Vic, do you like clowns?
Not when they're chasing me.
All right, good. So we're all in agreement. Clowns are the bane of our existence, and they are a scourge on America. Is that fair? Am I overreacting? But I don't think so. So I don't understand what's going on. Last week, we belong to a little Facebook group of the town we live in, and so people post things. And there was a big panic in our town about clowns at the park, and there were reports that clowns had chased children in the park, and there were reports that clowns were at the high school, and it turned out it was all hogwash. But we do know that in the last few weeks, these clown attacks or clown spottings have gone up. Now, a couple months ago, it was all over Wisconsin. There were reports of clowns just lurking. Turned out that was part of some movie that was being done. But it's getting out of hand. And there's been a lot of questions. Time did a big story about it, you know, how it was born. There's questions answered. 312-981-7200. First of all, I want to know if you like clowns and why. Why would you ever enjoy a clown other than Bozo? I will give Bozo a pass. Because Bozo was an iconic clown. We know Bozo would never hurt anybody. And Bozo does not look creepy. Bozo's fun and he lives on TV, which is where all clowns should be, in a little box. Even if you're a big clown, you got to go in a little box. Now, I know there was just a big clown show in town the other day. Droopies or Pouty Clown or something. I saw him on WGN TV News. He was doing some show, but... He looked like one of those French clowns where it's all bald and then he had the little tiny hat.
Puddles, I believe.
Puddles, yeah. Puddles Pity Party or something like that. Yeah. Puddles the Clown. That's not even a good name. So where did this all start? It started in South Carolina. Maybe it's the palmetto bugs. I don't know. In the middle of August, there were reports that clowns were lurking in the woods outside of Greenville. That's when you just send in a SWAT team. You just wipe them out. Total eradication. Am I calling for the extinction of all clowns? Am I calling for clowns to be quarantined in some sort of camp? Perhaps I am. But how many of us would really be sad if clowns were rounded up, herded into a big, big pen somewhere, and then only brought out, not killed, just held where we can watch them? I don't want them roaming about. Because there's something about a grown adult puts on a ton of makeup and big shoes, and they drop their pants for people's amusement, and they have seltzer bottles. Unless you're an old-timey bartender, you don't need a seltzer bottle or a spinning flower. You know? And honestly, where do all the handkerchiefs come from? I don't trust it. I don't trust anything about it. They're hiding something. And yes, I go back to Gacy, of course. All criminal clowns go back to Gacy and Pennywise. He could be the start of it all. Do we blame Stephen King? No, not for that. He just elevated the fear. So one woman filed a report in Greenville with the sheriff because her son, quote, saw clowns in the woods whispering and making strange noises. It's like a coven of evil witch clowns casting spells on young children and then building a gingerbread house to lure them in. I know I'm mixing my stories up, but it all sounds the same once it happens in the woods. At that time, according to this story, it seemed like one of those weird story of the week things. Wrong. That was just the catalyst for local news hysteria across the nation. Because local news is always looking to stir things up. I know Vic is above that. He doesn't get into stirring up hysteria. But I wouldn't be, if you want to stir some hysteria this week, Vic, that'd be fine. I'm all for muckraking and I'm stirring the pot. Yellow journalism at its finest, especially when it comes to clowns.
Do all of that under a different name.
That's fine. Yeah, you can do a nom de plume if you would like. How'd you like that French, Esmeralda? Toss that in.
It's very nice.
I'm international with my references. So here's some other examples. A man in Kentucky was arrested for dressing up as a clown and hiding in the woods. See, I can't advocate violence, can I, Dan?
No.
Is it wrong then for me to say you should just punch a clown in the throat if they're lurking in the woods?
You might be able to get away with that one, though.
All right. I'm just asking. I'm not saying it. I'm not advocating it. But in Alabama, a woman called 911 because she was terrified after seeing a man dressed like a clown in a Walmart parking lot. Well, that's where they get their supplies, isn't it? Walmart? Schools in Ohio were closed. A clown in New York chased a teen out of the subway. There have been sightings in California, Texas, Florida, Colorado, Berwyn, and more. Of course, each sighting brings more attention to the phenomenon. A full list includes most regions of the country. What is going on? Are all the sightings real? It is likely, according to this, that most people really did see a clown lurking in the woods. Who's spending that much time near the woods? Just hanging around at the edge of the woods. I'm excited if I see a deer or some sort of wildlife. All right, let me ask. We'll go around the horn. If you saw a clown just lurking near the woods, would you call the police? I say yes. Dan, what say you?
I probably would not.
You would not? You don't want to get involved. You leave that to somebody else.
Right.
As long as it doesn't come out of the woods and wander into your yard. All right. How about you, Esmeralda?
What do they look like?
They look like a clown.
Yeah, but do they have one of those, like, they got the scary look on their face, or are they just kind of standing around? Because the ones
just
that
loitering,
are
leaning on a tree, smoking a cigarette.
Because the ones you see that are the scary ones, they have this look on their face, like they painted it all frightening.
Well, sure. Well, those are the obvious scary clowns,
right? I mean, but
I'm more dubious of the ones who look happy and are still lurking around the woods.
And wait, what time is this?
Good dusk. Let's say dusk.
That's,
Twilight?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't call the police?
Because maybe they're going to the to a party
in the
forest
woods?
Preserve.
There are a lot of, I think a lot of clown parties in the forest, is there?
Yeah, you know, where the picnic tables are.
Well, again, right? It's dusk.
They have parties at dusk?
Park closes, woods close at nighttime.
He could be a law-breaking clown.
Right, I'm just...
That's okay.
I'm calling the authorities. I want to find out what's up. How about you, Vic? You're a journalist.
There's going to be a well-being check called into the police from my cell phone.
Thank you, Vic.
If you're out in the middle of nowhere and there's even a person not in a clown costume staring at the traffic, I'm going to call in a well-being check on that. So if they're in a clown costume, I'm still going to... Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I add giant shoes and a ruffle to that. We gotta find out what's up.
And by the way, there was a sighting of a clown in my neighborhood. Like a block over from my house. But I'm not home, so it works out.
What time of day was this?
It was at night.
A nighttime clown?
Yes, they're just standing on the corner.
Just standing.
Yeah. Standing in the corner of a neighborhood street. It wasn't like it was a main intersection.
That's when you go out, you and your buddies, you wander out and go, hey, what's up, clown? See what they say.
And I saw the picture and it looks scary. So that I would call the police.
Yes, of course you're going to call the police. Because what normal human being is dressing up like a clown and just hanging around? The question becomes, why does this seem like such a big problem? The clown panic is another example of mass hysteria. Like the hysteria when people thought Dungeons and Dragons inspired Satanism. Do people think that? I just thought it inspired acne and living in your basement. But... again, that's just me. On the bright side, this hysteria hasn't actually gotten violent yet, unlike the Slender Man case. And that was not – Slender Man was just an isolated case in Wisconsin, wasn't it? There weren't a lot of Slender Man crimes other than that one horrific crime with the two goofy girls who almost killed that one girl. A sociologist in New Zealand's Botany College, and whenever I need scientific advice or an answer about some sort of mass hysteria, I go to Botany College. They told The Guardian that the fear over clowns come from two things. One, fear of otherness and social media. A fear of otherness and social media. Social media spreads information quickly. It makes us think that the danger is bigger than it actually is. And when it comes to otherness, a clown has that part down really well. So are we exaggerating this? Of course we are. Because we love to latch on to some sort of panic. All right, we'll get into why people are afraid of clowns and is it a real phobia? We'll get into all of that. And I'd love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. Have you, maybe you live near Esmeralda's neighborhood and you have seen a clown. Maybe you've given into the hysteria and now you can't even think about going to the circus. But I want to hear from you. We're talking about clowns and clown attacks. Why not? It's WGN. Don't drag Smokey Robinson into this. He has nothing to do with clown hysteria. Nothing. Join Chicago Tribune in publicly recognizing the most dynamic and supportive companies in Chicagoland at the 7th Annual Top Workplaces event, November 10th at Soldier Field. Visit topworkplaceschicago.com for tickets. I'm choking up over this clown. The tears of a clown. Listen, we're talking about this clown hysteria. The alleged clown attacks, the lurking clowns, and we may be joking about it, Esmeralda, but it is having a toll on the professional clown community. All of this chaos is taking a toll. I fear for my life, says Jordan Jones, who works part-time portraying Snuggles the Clown in a haunted house. Well, if you're a clown at a haunted house, you're looking for trouble. He's a 22-year-old from Pennsylvania, said he's afraid of what he sees on the news, like clown hunting at Penn State. Yes, they rallied all, they got everybody all worked up at Penn State. They were going on a big, big mass clown hunt. Really, they've got bigger fish to fry at Penn State, don't they? They're going hunting for clowns? Or is that a good diversion to forget all the other things that allegedly may have happened at Penn State? But Jordan says at the end of the day, people look at me like I'm a clown trying to hurt them. I feel that people are out clown hunting because they think it's cool now. I'm scared that someone might take a swing at me. Well, anytime you're in a haunted house, you got to figure somebody might take a swing at you. If you're one of those people who jumps out, you better pray you're wearing protective gear in certain parts of your body because there's going to be fists flying and punches thrown. Jones travels from his home in Pennsylvania to his job at Screamland Farms in Maryland every weekend. He says he's well known as Snuggles the Clown in his neighborhood. Sure, by the police and the sign that he has to put on his door that says a clown lives here, be careful. He's concerned about how people outside of his community will react. He's been a clown for a decade. He recently began a Clown Lives Matter movement on Facebook. Will you be wearing that t-shirt, Esmeralda, and marching in protest? Clown Lives Matter?
I will be a silent supporter.
Oh, yeah, okay. Silent supporter. So you're behind them in theory.
Yeah.
But you're not going to put yourself out there and be labeled a supporter of Clown Lives Matter.
No, because I don't really like them to begin with.
So. No.
But, you know.
And while I understand that most clowns are human, not all of them. Some are otherworldly and devilish. But most clowns are human, and I protect all human life.
Yeah, it's a little silly to go clown hunting.
Well, again, I do believe they need to be monitored. So if you hunt them and tag them and then release them back into the wild, I'm all for that. Or if you want to go with my first option and keep them all in a pen somewhere, and it doesn't have to be uncomfortable in there. They can have beds and things and TV and, you know, lit makeup mirrors so they can keep applying their clown makeup and wandering around all day. But I want to know where they're at. From the 312, I blame this all on Level 42's video, There's Something About You with the Sinister-Looking Clown. That reference is lost on me. And that they go on to blame MTV and the original VJs, saying Alan Hunter was just too much of a good guy He had too much of a good guy look. I don't know how that translates into the clown hysteria, and yet I'm always a fan of a good conspiracy theory. So I'm torn about that. I don't know how to react. There was a boatload of clown sightings in Kentucky, and no, they are not normal people there. All right. Oh, the ICP, people shouting out ICP, the Insane Clown Posse. Are you a fan of them, Dan? Do you go to the Gathering of the Juggalos every year?
I had breakfast behind a Juggalo one time in college.
You did not.
I did.
Where were you hanging out? The Juggalos were eating breakfast.
At a Perkins.
Oh, my. The cake and steak? At a Perkins. Now, I know the Juggalos used to, I was working in Peoria one weekend, and the Juggalos were in town. I think that was just for a concert, though. I don't think their gathering was there. Their gathering used to be down in Missouri somewhere.
This, too, was in Peoria, because I was.
Oh, because you were at Bradley.
I was at Bradley, and my friends were in town, and we went to Perkins for breakfast on a Sunday morning, and there was two Juggalos in full makeup sitting right behind us.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know Juggalos ate actual human food. Yeah, I just thought they ate
orange pop.
Faygo.
Faygo.
They Faygo.
Wow, look at Esmeralda all up on her ICP.
I'm from Joliet, so.
What is that?
There's a lot of them there.
Oh, are there a lot of Juggalos in Joliet?
Yeah. Seems like south of Joliet. Joliet and south is where all the Juggalos hang out.
I've never been in contact with a lot of them, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say I might be frightened. I've heard interviews with a lot of the Juggalos, and it seems like a rough crowd. Would that be accurate, do you think? And I'm not trying to be offensive to the Juggalos.
No, they are a little bit. They are pretty nice. I've seen interviews where people go to Cave and Rock. That's where the gathering
is. Yes, that was
a
gathering.
At. And now I think it's in Missouri. They moved.
Okay.
But the people are essentially nice to each other. They kind of take care of themselves. But, yeah, they're kind of weird.
Yeah, I just get a little nervous. And again, it's the makeup. And, like I said, I've heard some interviews. Every year at this time, according to the 773, CVS Pharmacy has on display for sale this freaky, ugly clown. It's 3 feet tall, moves its head and hands, and its eyes light up. I don't know who would buy it. I would never go to sleep with that thing in my house. Well, yeah, you're not going to put it at the foot of your bed or in your kid's room. Then your kid will never sleep, ever. All right, Vince is on the phone. He claims to be a clown. Or did you see a clown, Vince? Hi.
Up no, there.
Sorry.
A friend of mine who works for the Elgin Police Department, I always get stories from him. And according to him, last week, there was a clown in front of the high school walking around. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, the guy was walking around up and down the sidewalk. He looked like Clarabelle from the Howdy Doody show carrying a balloon. That's all he was doing was just pacing up and down. So I would have loved to have seen that, but the school was down on shutdown.
So what? So they shut. They put the school on lockdown?
On lockdown. You never know about these people nowadays. They could be carrying guns. They could be carrying knives. They're trying to break into things. Yeah, they're dressed up as a stupid as a little clown, but still, I would take very high precautions.
Yeah, see, I'm with you, Vince. I don't trust him for a second. Not for a second. All right.
If he was in my neighborhood, I'm a former Marine. I don't think Mr. Clown would be walking out very well.
All right. See, yeah. Now, that goes back to the question I asked everybody here before, and only Vic and I were going to call the police or confront these clowns. If you saw one walking down your block, you would confront a clown, correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would. I mean, I've been in the Marine Corps for 10 years, and yes, I would definitely take care of it on my own.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I have the utmost respect for the Marines and all the military people. They don't train you in Marine-to-clown combat, do they?
We did hand-in-hand combat, yes, we do.
Okay, so hand-to-hand, you could do it. Do they specify, like, if somebody has big clown gloves on or giant shoes, is that going to change the way you go after them?
He can't run fast.
That's true. He's not going to get away. All right, Vince, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Yikes,
do you
too.
Think the vulnerable points are the same? Like, can you go for the nose? I mean,
no.
Right,
that's it. You go for the nose, it comes off. You step on the toe, the big shoe tears away. You never know. Maybe it's one of those clowns that have the hula hoop around their middle so they look bigger. So you're swinging at them and you're not making any contact. Plus, if you're the hula hoop clown, you can store a lot of stuff in there. You know, you could be wearing some sort of device, and not just a whoopee cushion or, the spinning flower. All right, what about the fear of clowns, according to that? Is that phobia a real thing? According to this article, it is a real thing in the sense that there is a word for fear of clowns, which is coulrophobia. Coulrophobia. But just because there's a word for it doesn't mean it's legitimate. Oh, the term was made up by adding phobia to the word coulro, which means stilt walking. But the term is not in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which I read every day just to make sure I'm still functional as a human being. I don't read the whole thing every day. I browse through it. I look at chapter headings, and if I don't see anything that rings a bell for that particular day, put the book back on the shelf, I head out about my business. It's unclear whether being creeped out by Ronald McDonald. Now, all right, I give Ronald McDonald a pass, too. I gave Bozo a pass earlier. Those are the only two. And Jack from Jack in the Box. Those are the three clowns that get a pass from me. I can't think of any others. Are there any other clowns? I don't think so. All right, enough of this. I'm terrified. What does it all mean? It means if you see a clown, throw a burlap sack over it, drag it into a pen, and observe them. That's all I'm calling for. Calling for the total monitoring of all the clowns. On the other side of the news, oh, here's the hard-hitting segment that everybody has been waiting for. Should men sit or stand in the bathroom? Oh, 312-981-7200. You got to weigh in on this. The information will flow like rain when we come back after the news on WGN. It's Brian Noonan for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick will be back next week. I have the pleasure of being with you this week for Nick, so we'll have a good time. We've got some things planned. We're excited about this, and by we, I mean me, because Dan and Esmeralda probably don't know about it yet. We're going to bring back the Overnight Arcade Friday morning, so that'll be fun. And we have a visit from some of the cast of Tony and Tina's Wedding on Wednesday morning. Is that correct? Wednesday morning, right?
That is correct, yes.
That is correct, yes. So a lot of things coming up, and I know Dan has surprises that he doesn't even tell me about, Esmeralda. I come in, I have no idea what's on the program.
He's a mysterious man.
He is. He's very enigmatic. He likes to sit there in his little glass box, formulating, postulating, trying to figure things out. Somebody texted in, what was the name of the book that I mentioned that I read every day to see if I'm insane or not? The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's like my big Harry Potter book, you know. I open it up, monster comes out. I say, oh, that's just me. And then somebody, our last clown text. But this kind of subs everything up. Didn't like clowns growing up. Why do adults have to put makeup on to entertain children? Exactly. I work nights, and ever since this creepy stuff started, I find myself looking around when I'm coming home. John Wayne Gacy and Stephen King, Poltergeist convinced me. See, it's deep-seated. My wife doesn't like clowns. She also doesn't like ventriloquist dummies because of the movie Magic. Remember that one with Anthony Hopkins where he had the – Nick would know that movie. I don't like ventriloquist dummies either. I don't – you know, like Jeff Dunham with the pepper on a stick, that's okay. I'm not terrified of a giant jalapeno on a stick. I'm not terrified of Walter the Old Man. But the classic, you know, pasty face, big-eyed, scary dude in a suit – I don't like that. I don't like that one at all. All right, now let's get to the important stuff. Enough of this. Enough of this clown talk, enough ventriloquist dummy talk. I'm rolling up my sleeves because, like I said at the beginning of the show, and if you weren't here, I had seen this article in the Tribune today, and I thought immediately, oh, we must talk about this. It'll be a fun kind of topic. And then in my head, I started hearing all the people complaining that this is what we're going to do. How I can't believe they're talking about this on WGN. So I thought, well, maybe we'll pass. But then I get here, and what is one of the top stories that Dan hands me as he's suggesting things for the show? Oh, same story. So I thought, you know what? What the heck? It's 3:30 in the morning. Let's talk about it. Here's the question from the Chicago Tribune, a reputable newspaper. So this is a big thing. Should men sit down when they pee? What if they're visiting someone else's home? At first blush, Dan, what would your response be to this?
Nope.
No, never sit down. You're a stand-up guy, which we knew.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes, in so many ways you are a stand-up guy. Now, what if you are visiting someone's home? If you were to come to my home and try to give me something to figure out why my throat keeps closing up today.
And it doesn't involve me going to the bathroom.
Well, you could use the bathroom in my house. I'm not some kind of psychopath. If you can I use your bathroom? No. Are you ready to sit down? Well, then go ahead.
No, even at a person's house, whether they're friends or strangers, I still elect to stand.
You still elect to stand. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's fine.
So I thought.
Well, we have two opinions based on the Tribune. And feel free to weigh in, because there's nothing like in discussing the important topics of the day. 312-981-7200. Texts already rolling in, as you can imagine. From the 224, sit at home if I'm wearing comfy clothes. If dressed up or on the road, I will always stand. So if you're just lounging about in your sweats or your giant caftan, then you just sit down. If you are all dressed up, prim and proper, you must stand. We have Amy Smigleton, or Simington. She's an etiquette expert, facilitator, and speaker. And Dr. Gregory Bales, professor of urology at the University of Chicago Medicine. Who would you like to hear from first, Esmeralda? Whose opinion would you like to get at the outset of this unbelievable debate?
The smart person? Lady?
The lady? The etiquette expert?
Yes.
All right. The smart, as opposed to a doctor who we always put in the dumb person column. If I had to weigh out the intelligence, I'm sure they're both very intelligent. I don't know if I would, put the etiquette expert above the doctor. But here we go. This is her answer to the question. A man's decision to urinate standing up or sitting down would be made based on how he was brought up, his culture, and his personal preference. There are no hard and fast etiquette rules on the subject. Well, that's good to know. However, as a wife and mother of a 13-year-old boy, I have a strong bias toward men sitting down while in the loo. So we know that she is from across the pond, particularly when he is in someone else's home. And you may say, well, why is that, Amy Simington? While most men swear they have great aim, how's your aim, Dan?
Excellent.
Excellent. Unparalleled, would you say that?
I don't know if I'd go that far, because I don't have anything to parallel it with.
Well, maybe we get Vic down here. We have target practice. As we set something up. Maybe it's like at the fair. We put a line of dishes across. We see who can shatter them.
Did you see that commercial for bleach?
No.
So it's two young boys, and they're in the bathroom.
The loo?
They're in the loo. And they have they're putting a line of tape on the ground. And the mom walks in and goes, what are you doing? They're like, I got it from that far last time. And they're like, it's bleach.
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you try to arc it, see how, and I don't want to get, I'm not trying to be graphic, but that's what kids do. Anyway, so most men say they have great aim into the bowl. They never make a mess. Studies have shown. Who is studying this? This is, again, one of those things where I got to get in on some of this fake study money. Yeah, I want to study how accurate guys are when they're going to the bathroom. All right, here's $100,000. That'll be fine. Then I talk to two guys. Hey, you hit the bowl? Not too often. Okay, thank you. Then I go rest on my laurels. Putting up the seat does not count either, especially if it forgets to put it down. Then there is the noise that comes from the waterfall plunge. If you're a guest at someone's home, and the bathroom is located near the dinner table, which is always horrific, And I know a lot of people have like a half bath near their, right off the kitchen. And I understand it. And my bathroom is not very far from the kitchen. But it's still, I'm conscious of that noise. I always turn on the vent fan. I don't need people eavesdropping on me. But if the noise, if you're a guest in someone's home and the bathroom is located near the dinner table, I would advise against making a big splash when everyone can hear you. Yeah, and also don't do the, oh, man, that feels great. Don't do that. You don't need to announce yourself. So there's one theory. Now, we've just heard from the smart person, Esmeralda. Now you want to hear from the dopey doctor?
Sure.
All right, sure. Doctors don't know anything. Go to school for 187 years, read all kind of big books. Males generally like to be able to pee standing up. That's Dan's thing. I'm trying to think if I ever... Yeah, sitting down, like maybe if I'm sick, I'll sit down. Or if I'm feeling really especially lazy. But that doesn't usually happen. But yeah, see, you got to stand up. In fact, many come to see urologists when they can no longer do it standing up because they have lost the force of stream necessary. That I've read, I'll be honest, I've read that sentence probably four times before I just read it now to you, and it didn't really make sense to me. Maybe because I don't have prostate problems or any urological problems at this point. But how can it be different standing up than sitting down? You know? And I'm not a urologist, nor an etiquette expert. But that sentence confused me. In a private residence at a friend's house, any male should be considerate if he sprays a bit or and contaminates the toilet seat. What do you spray that you're contaminating the toilet seat? It's very acidic. I saw it eat away plastic one time. Bubbled up. Horrifying. So, yes, it's perfectly fine to sit, says the urologist, if for no other reason than one is less likely to cause a mess. I've seen many older male patients being dragged into my office by their ears, by their wives. Man, if you get to the point where you're married so long that your wife is dragging you somewhere by the ear, it may be time to reevaluate the true love. The principal complaint being my husband is messing up the bathroom with his spraying. In those situations, frequently due to myopia or a tremor, I suggest the gentleman sit. As urologists will tell you, be courteous, aim well, flush, and put the toilet seat down. There you go. That's kind of crack advice you'll get when you listen to this program, when Nick's not here. Because I don't know if... Would Nick have given this advice? Is this a story you would have sent to Nick?
I would have, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And I know Nick would have run with it just as well. A man sit in here and made clown up clown or sit down. I don't know what that sit down, no aim or splash problems. That's from Jay in Ohio. Sitter at home, but everywhere else a stander, according to the 331. Wow. Maybe it's more common than I would think. I don't think of that as a leisure activity, so I'm not going to sit down. You know, I don't have time for that. Don't have time to be sitting around, especially in the middle of the night. Get up and wander in, sit down. But I am cognizant of where things are, you know, where I'm leaving things. Do you turn the light on if you get up in the middle of the night?
I try not to.
I try not to, too, because it wakes me up. Then you're going, it's almost like by oral braille at that point. You're listening for the sounds. Because I have okay night vision. It's not infrared, you know, I'm not a cat, but... You know, I can see the outline. Then you just hope there's nothing crazy happening.
Did we have a Wood Esmeralda buy that with a toilet ring with the light? I can't remember.
There might have been.
A toilet ring with a light.
Something with a toilet.
We do this.
Something with a toilet.
Yeah, we do this segment called Would Esmeralda Buy That, where we find weird things online and ask her if she would buy it.
Oh.
And I'm trying to think if there's like a ring you can put underneath the toilet bowl. So for this reason. So like when you lift up the seat, there's like a nightlight emanating from the toilet bowl.
I like that.
I'll see if I can find it during weather and
traffic. Well, we have a nightlight in the bathroom. And I don't know. We started putting the nightlight in the bathroom when we moved, so we'd be able to remember where the bathroom was in the middle of the night. You know, because you get used to, we lived in one house for 11 years, and the bathroom was right off the bedroom. So that was, you know, you get used to that. Well, then you move to a new place, and all of a sudden, it's a new floor plan. So we have a nightlight in the bathroom. So that helps. That helps too. Whether I sit or stand depends on the quantity of spirits consumed. Sometimes you just can't hit the hole. That from a texter in the, let's see. Kurt's always wanted a urinal in his house.
My thing is, pee, standing, sitting doesn't matter for guys. As long as if you make a mess, wipe it up.
Well, I think that, yes.
If you miss and there's some on the side, wipe it up.
That's true. I've heard many times. How does it get underneath the bowl?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Wipe it up. Just do a little quick check.
Sure. Yeah, listen, I think that's just courtesy. You know what else is courtesy? Doing the weather and traffic. But we'll take more. If you have calls or texts and you want to weigh in on this, feel free, because God knows it's earth-shattering. Information that we're putting. A lot of texts coming in, though. A lot of texters. Maybe they're sitting down and they, you know, so their hands are free. So they can text us. Brian in for Nick. We are talking about the pressing question of the day. Should men sit when they pee? That was in the Tribune. So you know it's got to be important. A lot of texts coming in on this. Somebody saying, sit. You ever been to Wrigley? Yeah, Wrigley's got the troughs. And I am on record. The troughs are an abomination against man. And they are horrible. And I don't like guys being treated as cattle. And I bring this up and I get ridiculed by guys who think they're tough guys. And what's the matter? Can't you stand in the trough? No, because I'm a human being. And I like to, you know, I like a little decorum and privacy when I go. I don't need to stand at a trough. That's horrifying. This guy just bragging from the 630. What if you hit the water with your when you sit? Never sit. Oh, look at you.
It's high water, I guess.
Yeah. Ha-ha! Esmeralda putting him in his place. Daddy Longlegs getting schooled. Good for you, Esmeralda. Nicely played. I read a story about Ozzy Osbourne who put a urinal in his house because of his bad aim. That from Mark the Breadman. You get too much splatter, too much back splatter from those. Not a fan. This makes
up one of the full length.
The full length, because somebody texts about that Nick talks about his love of the full length ones. Oh, because then nothing gets on the floor, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. This makes perfect sense from the 630. Being sight impaired, I sometimes sit to avoid missing, especially in someone else's home. Well, that makes perfect sense. The study, Wild Bill says, he's the one. Wild Bill told me it's not abnormal for Nick to talk about. He loves full-length urinals. All right, Dan posted a link on the Brian Noonan Show page about this light-in-the-box Brelong motion-activated toilet nightlight. LED toilet light bathroom. It's only $6.99 to light up your toilet. It looks good. It comes in all sorts of colors, too. So did you buy one, Esmeralda?
No, I don't need one.
Well, maybe just be for fun. Be like in the middle of the night, it's like you're going to the disco bathroom. So you got lights going.
I just turn the light on.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't bother me. If I'm sleepy, I'm sleepy.
Yeah, but once the light goes on, my pupils open up and things get crazy and now I'm awake. So I even try to close my eyes. Once I get the sound going, I just close my eyes. So I'm like a narcoleptic urinator. I don't know how that sounds, but that's what happens. I don't like that. So this is only $6.99. Need a dreamy light out of your way? Our lighting. Where's the product? So you sit down, it's motion activated, and then it comes in 3, 6, 8 colors. That's pretty good, Dan. Did you install one? They said it's easy to install. Do you have one at home? Did you get one?
I do not.
Why not?
Never got around to it.
All right. Well, listen, might be something. Might be something to do. My boyfriend is visually impaired, according to a texter in the 708, and he and I got a big laugh out of your auditory braille comment. Oh, there you go. He has better aim than many fully sighted. Have a good one. That from Sue. Thank you, Sue. The trough at Wrigley is disgusting, and I will not use them, from the 708. Yes. That is now, they used to have round ones, too, some of the ballparks. So, listen, I'm no prude, but I don't know. Real men always stand even when doing number two. Wow. Well, all right then. I will admit to not being a real man. There is not a chance. No chance. And that's from Billy Billy. I'm not going to read the rest of Billy's handle because even though it is on late at night, that's hard. Not going to do it. No, I'm not turning on the radio when I wake up either. Texter from the 773. I don't want to. So once I go to bed, I don't want to wake up. And now I'm to that age. I'm to the advanced age, Dan, where I get up at least once during the night. Mm. And then I wander in. And I also have. So not only am I trying to get to the bathroom, I also have to avoid the dog food because my dog is a lunatic. And my dog can't just stand at the bowl and eat. So if you picture, you come out of my bedroom and you take a left turn into my kitchen. Well, the dog doesn't just stand and eat her food there. She always takes a mouthful and runs somewhere else. So there's bits of kibble throughout my path to the bathroom. And there's nothing worse than, 3, 4 in the morning, you get up, you're drowsy, you got to go to the bathroom, and then you step on dog food. hard dog food. It's like stepping on rocks. Now I'm swearing in the middle of the night. If that doesn't wake me up, I'm surely not going to turn on the light. So I just, you know, everybody's got trials and tribulations in their lives. Mine are no greater than anybody else. I just have a place to vent about them where, you know, you can't really stop me and walk away. You can. You can turn it off. I don't know you're gone, so I just keep, you know, venting like everybody's listening. On the other side of the news, we'll change it up a little bit because some towns are trying to ban toy guns. Yeah, that's going to work. That'll curb all the problems, won't it? We'll discuss it on the other side. It's WGN. Brian Noonan in for Nick D on 720 WGN. Oh, I hear Dan breathing. That's very exciting. My one ear, I hear you like you're trying to get me all crazed. Just this deep, hot breath in my head.
Nice. I know how you feel at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Listen, you know I like to get anything to get me over the top. Take us home for the last 55.
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, are you sure? I turn my baseball cap around and suddenly my right arm becomes like Popeye's. You don't see too many good arm wrestling movies anymore.
Do you? Have you seen the competitive arm wrestling on ESPN?
No.
Oh, it's a sight to behold.
I'm busy watching the competitive log rolling. I like a good lumberjack contest. Put on my flannel. Put on my fake beard, envying Vic. I wish, you know, I don't have the beard, but I'll put one on for a lumberjack contest. Then some big boots.
The thing that impressed me about the arm wrestling is that they make you go with your right and left.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, they'll acknowledge, like, this guy's a righty or this guy's a lefty, but you've got to use both during the course of a competition.
Are you wrestling two people?
No. So, you know, it's like you get your competitor, and then, you know, you go once, you know, however it shakes out. Like, you know, once with your right, once with your left, once with your right, once with your left, and then the winner of.
So you have to be built up on both sides.
Right.
I have never been a good arm wrestler.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, and people think it's so easy.
Did you see the video over the weekend of Larry the Cable Guy?
Snapping a guy's arm.
He broke his arm arm wrestling.
Well, listen, if you're going to arm wrestle Larry the Cable Guy, you probably deserve something bad to happen to you. If you're just anywhere in the proximity of Larry the Cable Guy, got some sort of problem.
I'm looking at TMZ, and they're saying that the World Arm Wrestling League wants Larry the Cable Guy now.
I knew Larry the Cable Guy before he was Larry the Cable Guy, back when he was just a regular guy.
It's just Larry the Guy.
Well, no, his name's not even Larry.
Oh, boy. You're breaking the fourth wall now.
Well, listen, I'm here. I'm like the Penn and Teller of I'm just giving out the secrets.
No, you're that guy in the mask.
Duped. Oh, I'm the Spider-Man?
Remember from the Fox?
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man?
The Magician's Secret.
Oh, the Magician's Secret guy. Yeah, well, I'm not giving his real name is out there. I think you can find it. All you have to do is Google Larry the Cable Guy. And, you know, after you buy your sleeveless shirts and your camouflage hats and your Prilosec, you'll probably get down the fourth or fifth thing in the Google search. You'll probably be able to find his real name. But, yeah, I remember when he was just a regular, average stand-up comic. You know, a middle, maybe sometimes he'd headline smaller places. And then he developed this character. And listen, God bless him. The guy made bazillions of dollars with Larry the Cable Guy. He made movies. Am I a little jealous? Sure.
Now he's breaking people's arms.
Now he's just a scourge on the landscape. Wandering around hurting people for no good reason. Because all those years, you know, after all the years of wearing the sleeveless shirts, he's probably had to pump up the guns. Because you can't be Larry the scrawny cable guy with little spaghetti arms walking around, coming out of your big flannel shirts. You got to have the guns to match. And so, yeah, now he's just, you know, like a roving caveman snapping people's arms. But how do you, again, he's not a professional. This is what bothers me about this. He's not a professional arm wrestler. So who is he arm wrestling? I saw the video. The guy didn't look, you know, it wasn't like he had avian bone syndrome. He didn't have that bird bone disease where your bones are hollow and they just snap real easy.
I'm thinking it's just
leverage?
The way, yeah, he probably, just the way that he because it happened once he pushed his arm down.
Yeah.
So it was probably just a way that the arm was and it popped out.
How was that again? Wow. That doesn't sound so bad when you break an arm with that sound. I want to hear the ah, your little. That doesn't sound bad at all. That sounds like maybe you just, you know, you pop it right back in.
You probably, I mean, you have to, right?
I don't know. If you dislocate your shoulder, maybe you could pop it back in. If you snap your arm.
It kind of looks like he popped it, but that could just be the bone sticking out.
Gross. I'd like to see you and Dan arm wrestle now. Would that be possible? Can I just call for acts of physical strength in the middle of the show? Could you come in here and leg wrestle me, Dan?
I don't want to break Dan's arm. So, you know.
Oh!
I actually have no response to that. She's probably
DJ Shagroovy getting called out. Have you ever won an arm wrestling match?
Yes.
Other than against Emily. Because a 16-month-old doesn't put up a whole lot of fight.
Yeah, no.
Especially when she's sick.
You know, she's wiry.
No, I was praising her and denigrating you, just so we're clear.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have two younger brothers, so there were arm wrestling competitions, and I won a few rounds.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right, listen.
We never did the leg wrestling thing. That always freaked me out.
Yeah. You know, I'll leg wrestle with a lady. But it's more of a passionate thing, playful. And only if she says yes. I'm not just walking up, hey, you know, I'm famous, I can do whatever I want, and then I leg wrestle some woman. You know, I'm not on Pioneer Court just tackling women and leg wrestling them. Ha ha ha! What do you think of that? Nope, that doesn't work. Does anybody open a quart of oil on arm wrestling show and drink it? I don't know what that reference
is
about.
It's from the movie.
Oh, do they drink oil?
Yeah, they're one of the guys. One of the guys with a big bushy beard, you know, like to intimidate his opponents. He opens up a can of motor oil and drinks it, and Sylvester Stallone's not impressed and defeats him anyway.
I wouldn't be impressed either, because I would look at him and go, "Well, you have a mental condition, so I am going to dominate you."
That's definitely
just by turning my hat around.
That's definitely a sit down right there. I'll tell you that when you're expelling that.
Oh man, that's a sit down and don't have a cigarette near you. Because then it's like Deepwater Horizon in your bathroom. There's just an oil slick, and there's contamination, and you got to shut it down, and there's a spill. And that's horrifying. You don't want anything to do with that.
Real quick, Esmeralda leaned back and went out of camera view, and I honestly thought she was coming in here to arm wrestling.
I did, too. I thought she was coming in.
You locked the door.
I've had enough of this. He did jump up, and now there's a file cabinet in front of the door. Which he moved with surprising...
See, right.
He moved the file cabinet so easily, I would think he has no reason to fear an arm wrestling match. But perhaps it's all, again, leverage and, you know...
You know what it is? I think it's like, you know, those moms that can lift a car when their kids are pinned?
Sure.
Like, just the fear adrenaline?
Adrenaline,
you know?
And fear. Wow. Okay.
It's happened before.
The fear that you've lifted a car or you've beaten Dan up?
Both.
I don't know what happens here in these with you guys... But I'm starting to find out, and it scares me a little, but intrigues me even more. So if you're trying to scare me away for the rest of the week, it's not going to work because I'm here. And by Friday, I will have some physical altercation planned between you two, and you won't even need me to ask. The tension will just be so high, at some point one of you is going to storm into the other one's studio and demand some sort of satisfaction.
I do kick the door open. To his studio whenever I say goodbye.
You must have strong legs.
I kick it. I go, bye, Dan.
Because these doors do not open. Sometimes I feel very like a small child trying to get out of the studio. Because I'll stand there and pull at it and whimper. Because they're very heavy.
I think you're supposed to push. I see. I'm kicking in.
Yeah, you're kicking in.
I'm not trying to pull it with my leg.
Well, no, I'm saying I'm trying to get out and I can't. You have some sort of mule kick... some super freakishly strong legs.
I roundhouse kick the door.
Wow.
And then say goodbye.
This is getting more and more intense by the
way. I always thought it was a very nice goodbye, but now I'm kind of...
Yeah, no, I kick the door.
She's practicing. She's practicing for where she sees you in the hallway.
And I always thought she did like the Elaine get out push. I didn't realize you were kicking
it. No, yeah, I'm kicking it.
She jumps up Van Damme style. Goes right at it.
She loves Van Damme. So.
Do you love Van Damme?
I do.
Is it because he can do... splits between trucks?
You know, there's that. And he's just, ever since I saw the, JCVD? Have you seen that one?
No, is that the documentary?
No, that's the one where it's supposed to be him.
Okay.
But he's like down on his luck and, you know, the movie roles aren't coming in like they used to. And then he gets,
it is just like his life.
He's a hostage in a bank robbery.
Is that right?
And then he kind of has to try to talk them out of it.
Can I ask, does he do any Van Damage?
He does a little bit.
Okay.
But I think because he's supposed to be just himself, he's not like the superhuman human guy. So he doesn't do too much of it. He does a lot of talking. It's quite nice.
Oh,
and
really?
In French.
Oh, en français. And that gets you? That do it for you?
It changes my opinion of him.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme and Gomez Adams are your dream guys? Is that what we're led to believe by this?
Gomez Adams.
Sure, Macaria. Is that Italian? What does he say when he's kissing up? I've lost them both now. Neither one of them can collect themselves and help me out. I'm here on Macaria. Is that Italian? What is that when he's kissing her arm? Doesn't matter. Joe the janitor has never been beaten arm wrestling, even by sixth graders. So Joe dominating the school as he wanders around. Everybody goes, oh, there's Mr. Joe. Don't try to arm wrestle him in the boiler room after school with the warm milk that he kept from the lunch just sitting on the counter. Big crate of warm milk. That's what you have to drink if you lose the arm wrestling match. I don't know. Things have got... We had something we were going to talk about, didn't we?
Yeah, we can still do it.
No, I know we do. I got my pad. My pad right here. It's all written down. I got a plan.
Arm wrestling talk, wasn't at 4 o'clock?
No, I didn't have arm wrestling down. That was at 4:45. Now we're jumping the gun. You know, throw it off my whole schedule. So in that case, we might as well just do traffic and weather because, you know, if the schedule is blown, you know, I don't want Esmeralda coming in and roundhouse kicking me because I didn't get to traffic soon enough. I can't believe this. Everybody, you know, it's fun to make fun of the millennials, isn't it? It's fun to because they're hipsters. They got the beards and whatnot, and they think they know everything. They invented everything because they're millennials. This surprising statistic, I think. Just 1 in 5 millennials has tried a Big Mac. So McDonald's is in a panic. 1 in 5. That would be 20%. That's right. I did some math. Even at this hour, my mind is still working. Go from Gomez Adams to fractions and percentages. Just 1 in 5 millennials, the fast food giants industry, millennials are their core audience. I didn't know that. Core customer, millennials. Only 1 in 5 has tried the Big Mac. According to a memo, I don't know if it was leaked, but somehow we got this memo. The Big Mac, according to this, has gotten less relevant. The number of hamburgers sold at McDonald's has been flat for the past few years. What are people buying at McDonald's then? The breakfast stuff? But hamburgers make up most of the menu, don't they?
Chicken nuggets, maybe.
Oh, could be buying a McNugget. Buying a salad.
Occasional filet of fish.
Yeah, filet of fish. That's not my thing.
Even Lent?
No, there's something about... I don't want to besmirch McDonald's. They're a fine company. But I don't like their filet of fish. If I'm going to have a fish sandwich, I like to get Burger King's fish sandwich because I don't like the tartar sauce. I hate tartar sauce.
Wow.
Don't like tartar sauce at all. I have not an irrational fear of tartar sauce, just an intense dislike for tartar sauce. So at Burger King, you could go like mayo, lettuce, onion. You can dress it up almost like a Whopper, their fish sandwich. So that one I prefer. But in the last 5 years, I can count on one hand the amount of times I have been to a fast food establishment like a McDonald's or a Burger King, because that became something that I didn't partake in anymore. Whereas before that, I ate at McDonald's and Burger King nonstop. And a Big Mac, there's still something about a Big Mac where I'll get a craving for that. Or if Molly is home from school or something and she brings McDonald's into the house, and not like it's, you know, forbidden, there will be no McDonald's in my house. She could eat it there, because then I'll go, oh, can I have a bite of that Big Mac? She always rolls her eyes and huffs. Okay. And then even though I try to take just an average size bite, she always accuses me of taking too big a bite. I'm like, well, my head is much bigger than yours, hence my mouth is bigger than yours, so just a regular bite is going to be 3/4 of the Big Mac, because I try to competitive eat it, you know, like Joey Chestnut. I just jam it all in there. So anyway, back to this, the number of has been flat and was growing only at a 1 to 2% annual rate before that. A sensory panel is helping McDonald's refocus on flavor. The company is testing using fresh instead of frozen beef. That might help. Different cooking techniques and an ordering system for made-to-order customized burgers. Do you want that at a McDonald's? I know they're competing against all kind of burger places like Five Guys and M Burger and all the quote-unquote upscale burger places. But McDonald's, you want to be fast. Most of their business, it says, comes from the drive-thru. 70%, actually, of McDonald's business in the U.S. comes from the drive-thru. They try to get your order from the time you order into the box to the time the food's in your car, 90 seconds. That's their goal. So some of the franchisees are saying, listen, okay, that's fine. You want to do all this stuff. But now they're talking about having kiosks when you go in and you can pick your meat and you can pick your buns and you can do all this. And then you sit down and somebody's going to bring you your food. And they're saying, well, if you want us to get the order out in 90 seconds, people don't want to come in and sit down for 10 minutes. Would you ever want to go in and that's not what I go to McDonald's for. If I'm going to McDonald's, I want food that's relatively warm and very fast. And a Big Mac will always taste the same. A Big Mac is a fine franchise product. That's the thing. But what are millennials eating? Esmeralda, you're not a millennial.
I am not. I think I'm on the cusp where they want to consider me a millennial, but I'm not.
Well, for this discussion, I'm going to consider you a millennial. just for this question, then. Only for a minute. Don't roundhouse kick me. Uh-huh. Even your sigh gives me whiplash.
That's very, okay.
Because I felt it just kick me right in the temple.
Yeah. Who gives you the better sigh, your daughter or Esmeralda?
It's the same. It's the same. Except
all those millennial girls.
Esmeralda's doesn't hurt me as much. As the one at home.
Because it's not your blood.
Right. If I've birthed you and you give me that dismissive sigh, it just makes me feel like, what's left of my life?
I haven't sacrificed 18 years for you, daughter.
Get used to it. You're only 16 months in. Talk to me in another 17 years.
No, I dread it.
Yeah, it's coming.
Every time she's like sweet to me, I'm like, oh, days are numbered.
Remember those days. But every once in a while, I will say, every once in a while, even in their advanced years, you'll get one of those sweet days. And it's more bittersweet than sweet because you remember how few they are now. You remember when it used to be the rule rather than the exception. And now, whatever. Just go along. Now you're just a bank. That's all. You're just an ATM. Just a guy, Did you get the card? Did you get the oil changed? Yeah, whatever. Boy, that turned sad. But here... If you're not eating Big Macs and burgers at McDonald's, are you eating the Chicken McNuggets? Is that what the millennials eat? What's a millennial diet?
I am a fan of the McNugget, but I don't tend to go to McDonald's at night or afternoon. Yeah. I'm usually mornings.
Oh, sure, for the breakfast.
So I get the breakfast.
The Egg Muffin.
Yeah. And now
yes,
I'm even more into eating the breakfast even if it's afternoon, because they do all day.
They do. That has been very successful for them, the all-day breakfast.
Right.
They're thinking of expanding it. So they're trying to do this. Customers love the taste of the new burgers, but they don't have 10 minutes. And on that note, just very quickly, Business Insider ran a big thing. Their guy taste-tested the signature sandwiches at McDonald's, so the Big Mac, Burger King, the Whopper, and Wendy's, Dave's Single, to try to figure out which was the best burger, the best signature burger. What do you think? What do you think the result was, Dan?
I would say Wendy's, but I think the answer is Dave's Singles.
Wow, that is Wendy's. Dave's Single is Wendy's. You think that's the one?
I do.
All right, Esmeralda, your guess.
This is just the big three?
Big Mac, the Whopper, or the Dave's Single, according to this writer at Business Insider.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Wendy's.
Wow, you are both wrong. Wendy's came in dead
really?
Last.
I've always
dead
thought of them
last.
As the high end.
Yeah.
Well, he said in part of his thing, their flagship burger line has been reworked several times throughout the 46-year history, most recently in 2011. The single consists of the iconic square patty, sandwiched between two slices of American cheese. We all know that. But they've added the one he had, there was too much sauce or ketchup or mayo, whatever on, so it was soggy. And it was swampy. And so it was not good. The Big Mac wins as the, according to this guy, as the best signature burger.
You know what I think, too, is happening? Because they have that dollar menu.
Yeah.
People just get a few of the little burgers from McDonald's.
That makes sense. Or that McChicken sandwich is on there for a dollar.
Because I'll just get some nuggets and then I'll get maybe a little hamburger, a cheeseburger, like a single cheeseburger. Because that's all you need flavor-wise.
Right. That's true. You get the beef flavor.
Yeah, because why pay? I mean, I think you're almost paying $6, $7 if you get a drink and fries.
Is that right for a Big Mac combo meal? It's that much?
I know it's a lot from the for the nuggets and a thing and...
All right. Well, listen. Now we got to. Now
it's getting up there in this, you know, in the world of McDonald's.
Yeah, when you're dropping a 20 just to have a Big Mac at McDonald's, that's a little much. All right. There's a lot of things coming in, but we don't have time for that. We got to do. We got to take a break. Then we got to do news, and who knows what we'll do after that? Well, I do, but I'm not telling. That's bad radio. I should probably tease it, shouldn't I? Well, who knows? Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick is on vacation this week. And I am happy to be sitting in for him while he is enjoying a little time off. We were talking about McDonald's and the 1 in 5 millennials not eating a Big Mac, and the Big Mac being voted by Business Insider's writer as the best signature flagship sandwich. Got this text from the 708. Well, then there you have it. That's the whole clown thing. See, it all comes back to the clowns. Ronald McDonald's and his friends are upset that the millennials are not buying hamburgers anymore. McDonald's should eliminate that clown, and Jack in the Box is having a hard time right now. That's from Alfredo, so I don't know. Don't know. Let's see. What number are you? There you are, Esmeralda. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
How are you? Did you come into arm wrestle?
Yep.
I don't arm wrestle. Especially with the ladies.
Well, you are today.
Oh, is that right? Wow, Dan. What'd you do? You go in and give her, you know, bribe her to come in here and arm wrestle me?
I roundhouse kicked him, and then I came in here.
Then you came for me. You're just going. That's why I don't see Vic. He's hiding under his desk.
Just on a warpath.
I don't blame you. It's, you know, it's Monday morning. Everybody's coming in off the weekend. You watched a weekend's worth of American Horror Story.
I watched Roadhouse, you know.
Oh, well, then you know it's you're nice till it's time to not be nice. Roundhouse. That's what you got to do. Roundhouse, Roadhouse, all the houses, Full House, House at the End of the Block. How are you? How are you enjoying the new season, the Roanoke?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't even started it?
No, I just I just
oh, because you
Hotel.
Were going. We were going to a hotel.
Yeah.
Did you like Coven, the witchy one?
Yeah.
The witch one was good until they burned. I didn't like seeing that.
The
whole burning thing when they burned the witch at the stake.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that's not
I
good.
Mean.
Listen, what are you going to do? All right. You have a choice, Esmeralda. Right hand or left hand? This is how I pick what's going to be on the show now. It's I just
this
hold it up.
This one looks bigger.
This one looks bigger. You want to do the bigger one? All right, we'll do the bigger one. This one looks bigger. How many times have you said that, Esmeralda, when you're making a choice? Not to put you on the spot. Never? Probably just this once.
Many times.
Oh, many times. You had to pick between two and you picked the bigger one. You know, that makes sense
too. Was that V that texted in earlier?
Oh, wow. Is V coming back in? V still around?
V is still around.
Good for you. Oh, that's good. No, that's good to hear. I like when things go well. I like when things last. I don't like a lot of turnover.
She and V actually went on their first big trip together to Boston a couple weeks ago.
Look at this. We're changing subjects. Look at me chasing rabbits down a hole. Where you went to Boston?
Yeah.
That's a key thing in a relationship to see if you can travel together.
I didn't murder him.
That's good. Did you roundhouse kick him at least once?
No. Okay. Well, no. No.
See, I saw some of your pictures that you were eating in Boston. Right. I didn't realize you were with V.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because I didn't see a forked lizard tongue grabbing food off the plate.
He didn't think.
No.
You know, he was polite. He did it after
nice.
I took the picture.
Sure, because it doesn't exist unless you post it on social media.
Exactly.
So what made you decide that this was the time? This was the time to take a little trip.
Oh, it was because it was $80 round trip.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, wow.
His brother lives there.
Okay, so you were visiting. And did you have fun?
Yeah.
And it worked out?
Yeah, it's good. We both enjoy Boston. So.
How is it? See, this is where I've been married for almost 25 years. I love my wife dearly. We travel horribly together because I treat the airport as a thing that I despise and I have to get through quickly, and she meanders. So we don't travel. Once we get where we're going, everything is fine.
Yeah.
It's the getting there and coming back.
I get a little controlly.
Oh.
At certain points, like when we were going through the line, when we were coming back to Chicago, because I think something had happened, and there was a bombing in New York or something that weekend.
Okay.
I think no one was hurt. But anyway, so they made us take our shoes off. And when we were going to Boston, they didn't.
Really?
They're like, if unless there's metal on them, you don't have to. I was like,
wow,
right,
I haven't been
weird.
In a line, a security
right?
line where I didn't have
I
to take my shoes off forever.
Very odd. It was very odd. So coming back, they're like, yeah, you have to take her. I'm like, okay, so this is like normal.
Right.
And I'm, you know, I'm already taking my shoes off. I'm everything. And I'm like, hey, take off your belt. Do you have stuff? Take the stuff out of your pocket. Right. He's like, okay, right. And I'm just like, come on, it's a line.
Right. I like, you got to keep moving.
Yeah.
And my wife will do that. She knows you have to show your ID, mm-hmm. but she doesn't have it out. And then yeah. she's got to dig through her purse to find her wallet and then dig through her wallet to find her ID. It's like, yeah. come on, what are you, yep. new? This is all, we got all this stuff down. It's, we do it all the time.
He got mad because someone, one of the security kind of chastised him as
Ooh,
he was going
what?
Through to because he wasn't, you know, taking all
you
his stuff
move.
Out. And I think they went, what are you, new?
What are you doing? Because if you, if at this point you don't know what you have to do when you get to the airport, stay home. Take a bus.
Right. I told him. I told you. You got to be ready.
Got to be ready.
He's like, well, I could have been nicer about it. I'm like,
no.
Nope.
They don't have time to be nice. They're too busy trying to get to their next break or to
exactly.
avoid somebody
like,
or to just get some attractive person into the X-ray machine.
Yeah.
Oh, you need a pat down. Why? Because I've been here a long time. I haven't patted anybody down in a while. I've been getting listen, not that I'm, you know, I've been getting a lot of pat downs. When
you
I go,
have?
Yeah, when I go to New Orleans.
All right.
Because
oh.
I go to New Orleans a lot now because, you know, I'm a Mardi Gras clown. And so I don't know why I'm getting the pat downs because I take everything out. I know the drill. My shoes come off. I take my belt off. I'll ask, do I need to take my belt off? No. All right. And I'll lift up, you know, I'll lift up my shirt so they could see my belt and my abs because I'm always bragging. Do a lot of crunches. And so I'm showing them that. Dad just can't believe it. He's like, really? Four more nights of this? Yeah. But they always call me out.
Maybe because you're too...
I'm too accommodating.
You're too much of a pro.
Like I'm too into it.
Yeah, you're like taking, they're like,
woo. What do you think of this? So I just go through my undies?
You're too helpful.
All right. So
it could be why.
Right. But then if I try to, I seem like I'm trying to hide something, what are you looking at?
Well, what are you trying to hide?
Nothing. I got nothing to hide. I am an open book when it comes to security, even though I resent the fact that I have to take my shoes off because I don't wear Velcro shoes because I'm an adult.
You got to wear slip-ons.
I know.
A loafer?
I don't like a loafer. I don't like movement in my shoe.
You tie them just enough so you can slip them on and off.
That defeats the purpose. I need my shoes to be tight on my feet because you never know when you might have to cut quickly.
Sure.
I have to make some moves.
to avoid your tackle?
That's right. If I got a break down field, I need to be able to go left and right.
To avoid the security guards?
That's right. Because I'm too into it. And they know it. And so now they got their extra eyeball on me and they're looking at it. So, but back to the Boston trip. I know you tried to deflect that by getting into my whole security line deal.
Uh-huh.
So, once you got to Boston, was it better?
Right.
Than going
no,
through
it was
the airports?
Fine. Yeah. No, it was all fine. There's just a few bickering there
it's
here
it,
and
there.
There
always is. That's part of.
But yeah, that's
a, part of a relationship.
Yeah. But I didn't want to like shank them with an oyster.
Are those
knife
shucking knives are.
Those
yeah, those things are. I got to be careful because I'm a little loopy and you know. The initial consonant sound make it a little messed up.
Right.
And we don't want that to happen.
No, no, no.
No. Well, maybe you do. Then you and Dan are hosting tomorrow because I'm gone. I'm going for. Oh, look at him now. Yeah, why don't you say that again?
We'll
what
still
kind of
talk
knife?
About your abs. Don't worry about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Listen.
There'll be a whole hour.
Oh, I hope so. And then maybe we go Facebook Live and I just. I don't know what that was. That was me doing crutches.
4:43.
It is 4:43. This is when it all comes apart. This is when being here for, I've been here now for 13 hours. That's when it all,
oh, that's, right.
that's when things start to get a little goofy.
So what was in the left hand?
Oh, this is the big story about towns trying to ban toy guns.
Oh.
Because I think that's going to cause all the problems. They say in effort to prevent misjudged police-involved killings, which is nothing to joke about. It's a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. One happened in September in Columbus, Ohio, where Tyree King, he was 13, officers mistook his BB gun for a real weapon. So a lot of towns are starting to decide if they should pass these bans on toy guns. According to a report in The Guardian, 28 people with BB guns were shot and killed by police in 2015 alone. A 12-year-old Tamir Rice, we know that story, in Cleveland. He was shot and killed when police officers mistook his toy gun for a real one. Now, I understand in theory what they're trying to do here. But let's be honest. And a lot of the focus is on not the plastic toy guns with the orange tip on them that may or may not look like a real. They're talking about like BB guns or pellet guns that they think look more like real guns. And they're saying, well, if this is the case, we should ban them. But now we got to ban all toy guns. But a lot of people who are questioning this are saying, and rightfully so, okay, then where do we draw the line between what is actually a toy gun? Mm-hmm. And is this the real problem? Toy guns, or is it gun violence in general? And once we start to ban toy guns, you know, do we then start banning all toy weapons? Do we have to take away toy swords? Do we take away lightsabers? Do we take a, because a toy gun and a lightsaber, they're just make-believe. They're weapons. And if you have kids or have been around kids, you know that any little boy is going to make a gun out of anything.
Right.
I substitute teach, and I'm in classes from pre-K up to eighth grade. And the little kids, even though they know at school you're not supposed to do anything with guns, they'll hold their finger up, they'll tear out a piece of paper to make it look like a gun, they'll pick up a stick and say bang. They're just ingrained with this. So if you're going to try to cut the exposure of guns to small children, do you then... are we going to outlaw guns in any movie or TV show? Are we? Where does it stop? And is this going to be what really helps? And it's Maryland is where they're looking at it right now. They're really trying to figure out. One of the councilmen used to work at Walmart or still works at Walmart, and he's saying, "Well, listen, that's the most stolen thing are these pellet guns, these realistic looking BB guns. So we have to make sure that we stop these things from being made." And it doesn't make sense to me, but they think it's going to cure all the problems. If there's no toy guns, no kids are going to get shot. How about this? How about if we? Because I grew up playing with guns. Dan, did you play with guns? He's on the phone.
I did. Yes.
Of course you did. Because you're now girls probably don't play with guns.
No, and yeah. I know my mom. She's told me that she wouldn't let my brother play with guns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they never bought him guns.
See, and when I was a kid, you would go to it was before it was Toys R Us. It was Bargain Town, and you would go to Bargain Town, and there was a huge. Imagine a full aisle at Toys R Us, both sides filled with toy guns. From machine guns to pistol, any kind of toy gun you can imagine. Cap guns, squirt guns, guns that shoot out pellets, all sorts of things. And my brothers and I all played with guns. None of us own guns now. We made it through without, you know, we didn't become quote-unquote gun nuts because we played with guns as a kid. I know there's a lot of people who feel the same way your mom does, that they never let their kids around guns. But again... there's probably a good chance that at some point your brother held up his hand and made a little pistol out of his fingers and went bang, bang.
Right.
Maybe
and
not in front
did,
of your mom.
Well, at one point he had a BB gun.
Yeah.
So.
Well, wait, how did he get a
I
BB
know.
Gun?
Yeah, but this was when he was older. Okay. I don't know what it was. My mom just didn't. She just didn't like the idea of toy guns.
Yeah.
But a real one, I guess.
Oh, yeah, a real one.
That's fine.
Listen, if it could really hurt somebody, then bring it into the house. If it's just going to make bubbles, that seems like a waste of time. All right. If you want to weigh in, 312-981-7200. We'll get into more of this later. We also have to start wrapping things up. But first, we have to do the weather and then the traffic. This is normally the time on Monday morning when you hear a joke from Nick's dad. But Nick is on vacation, so his dad is on vacation, too. I didn't know they got a family, vacation discount where everybody goes at the same time. But Nick's dad and Nick will all be back next week. So Nick's dad's joke will be back next week, brought to you by the Gale Street Inn. So we thank the Gale Street Inn. And, I guess we thank Nick's dad for always giving us a joke, except for this week. You got a joke? You want to fill in for Nick's dad?
No, unfortunately. Right. His jokes are amazing.
Yeah, I know. I feel a little gypped. I'm not going to lie to you.
Tune in next week.
Tune in next week at Monday mornings at about 4:50. And that's when Nick's dad usually does his joke. So That'll be next week. We've been, you know, cracking wise, but we're also talking about these cities who are trying to propose a ban on toy guns, and Adam wanted to jump in on this. Hi, Adam. You're on WGN.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Well, you and I probably both played with guns when we were kids.
All the time.
And, if I ever pointed it at somebody in the house or whatever, a toy gun, oh, man, there was it was not a good thing. And you just knew that. You had respect for it. And, you know, if I'm going to be out and about, I'm sure not going to be having a BB gun or any kind of firearm in my hand when there's a police officer around.
Well, and that's, yeah.
Tell you, hey, well, maybe I shouldn't have this in my hand. If you tell me to get out, they drop whatever you got in your hand. Oh, no, I'm not going to drop my BB gun. That's just stupid.
Yeah, Adam, I agree. Thank you for the call. And that's one of those things, you don't want to blame the victim. I don't want to, you know, these kids are dead, and that's horrible. And you would think, and when you're 12 and 13, you're not really thinking clearly all the time. But at some point, if the police are stopping you, you don't swing a gun at them. Because if it's a gun that looks fairly real, a cop doesn't know if it is real or not. And if they tell you to drop it and you turn and point it at them, bad things are going to happen. And it's not an indictment of the victim. And it's definitely not an indictment of the cop, because I wouldn't want to be faced with that split decision. And no cop wants to shoot somebody, especially a kid. So, but that's not going to change if you ban toy guns. If because there'll be something else that comes along. And then, you know, where do you stop? You know, I'm in Tony and Tina's wedding. We have these guns that make bubbles for part of the show. Well, that's obviously a toy gun. If I pulled it out in front of a police officer, they're going to see that that's a toy. But where does the line come? And that's the problem with these bans. You never know where the line comes and what's going to be next. So that's it's kind of, oh my goodness. Let's see. Things ready to dig. I want to comment on two topics. One, girls not having things ready and having to dig through their purses. Two, little boys shouldn't have guns. It was real important to us that our children didn't think that God's word is because my husband was in a field where he had to carry a firearm, and so we had one in our home. We stressed the importance of not playing with guns, but my son William built Tommy guns out of Duplos, the blocks like Legos, but he also used to put his baby Gerber bottle in his hand and tell me he was RoboCop. I would then tell me I was wrong about me, and I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, the sentences. This is when you don't pre-read the text. Something. It's hard. I have a hard time sending texts, especially long texts. I admire people who will send long texts. I don't have the thumb capacity for that. I don't have any. No, none of that at all. Christy Love. Oh, I'm sure you remember Christy Love. Yes, I do remember Christy Love. That was a show back in the 60s or 70s. I'm not that old. Back in the 70s, get Christy Love. She was a African-American female cop, very mod. She had the big fro, and she was very well-dressed. I can't remember what actress played her, but it was a great show. Get Christy Love. When she knew she was going to be in a shootout, she'd have to duck between the bumpers of the cars in a parking garage while she rummaged through her carpet bag for her snub-nosed 22. That's a problem, ladies. Can't have too much stuff in your purse. Can't find your license. Can't find your snub-nosed 22. Who knows what else is in there that you need? Bottle of Jack. I don't know what you carry around in your big bag. Purses are huge. But sometimes I wish I could carry a man bag.
Because
we're going on vacation next week.
Carry a messenger bag.
Yeah, but something pretentious and millennial about that.
How about a fanny pack? Is that more your speed?
You know what? You laugh. Back in the late 80s, I used to wear a fanny pack, and it was very handy.
You know they are back.
Yeah, well,
you got to look a certain way, though.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
No, it's not. No.
You're going to travel, don't look like a tourist.
No, I don't want. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later in the week. Dan is yelling at me that we got to do some things. What does that mean? Is that the break? We're going to break, then we're going to talk to Steve. Then I'm going to debate the fanny packs with him for an hour with the opening bell. Find out what the market has on that.
The business of fanny packs.
Business of fanny packs. Maybe he breaks that story later in the week. I jump in on that.
Fanny pack stock.
Oh, man. I am going to invest hard in that. But we'll see what Steve says about it after this. WGN.